Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 5, talking about this section where Peter is exhorting the elders, these leaders here in the congregation. We talked about verse 1 in this section last time. Today we're going to be addressing chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, which says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock."
Yeah, so what he does in two verses here is tell us how to shepherd the flock. And we'll just go through the how to and how not to. But shepherd the flock of God that is among you. First of all, to shepherd them. Some translations say feed the flock, but he's commanding them here to do this, to how to lead them, how to shepherd them, how to take care of them. And then a lot of different participles that's going to explain how that command of shepherding the flock is to be done. All this goes back to, and we're not going to turn there, but you might write it down and go back and study it yourself sometime. This idea of shepherding all the way back to Ezekiel 34, there God talks about the people needing a shepherd. And the shepherds, the religious leaders of their day, the religious leaders, the priests, the prophets, the kings, they weren't doing a good job shepherding. And God said, so I'm going to come down and I'm going to shepherd myself. Anyway, that there's great responsibility in understanding that. Now, notice he says, though, that it's they're going to shepherd the flock of God. The flock belongs to God. Yeah. They've been entrusted to shepherd it, protect it, lead it, and so forth. But they need to remember those sheep don't belong to them. They belong to God. And then it's the ones that are among them. You know, a shepherd can't shepherd a congregation or a flock in three states over, but just among them. So then he tells us how to shepherd the flock. And the first thing he says is by exercising oversight.
Yeah. To exercise oversight over them. It's, you know, this is where, again, they're the managers, not the owners, but they have been charged by God. If they're in this position, especially in shepherding the flock, they're going to be charged by God to oversee these people, to help the people, and to lead them. That's the role of a shepherd, is to lead, to guard, to defend, to encourage. And so as the manager is over them, he says, you're going to exercise oversight. You're going to steer them in the way that they need to go, pull them away from the places that they don't need to go, encourage them in the right directions, and exercise oversight in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that God's leadership, what he wants of them mostly is not to be a board of directors or financial advisors.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's not something that they needed to be taken care of, but I'm saying the main job is spiritually oversight, checking up on them, watching out for them, protecting them spiritually, continually doing that. And then he says exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. So the idea of, you know, you should feel the pressure from God that I ought to fulfill the role that is there, the need that God has in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to feel bullied by the congregation to accept that work. Again, I think sometimes we use the desiring the office as an out to not do it. My question is always, why do you not want to desire to do something that is a good work to do? Maybe it's not your gift, but I think in large part we don't even think of it in that terms. It's just, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to. But it ought to be something that you willingly take on, because it ought to be something that you want to do because you want to serve God. And that's that next little phrase there, as God would have you.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, you, in any type of setting in which direction is required, you're going to have the guys with more experience show up. You're going to have leadership there, ones that are more developed to take the younger guys under their wing and show them the right way to go. And certainly that's true spiritually. And so God would have you, that's one of the parts about maturing in your faith is that, you know, you're doing it for you, but you're also putting yourself in a position where you can bring those along that are not as developed in their faith, in order to, help them towards the way that they need to be going as well. So what God would have you to do is just to pull them and be an example. You know, that's, if you've been given this kind of relationship with God and that kind of faith, then, you know, don't keep it to yourself, but share it with others. Help mentor those kind of guys, because the ones that are younger are going to need that.
Yep. And then he says at the end of verse 2, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Elders can be paid. Mm-hmm. Titus 1:7 and 1 Timothy chapter 5:17 shows us that. But the point is they're not to do it for the money, not as a way to make money. They're serving because they realize sheep are in danger, and they're eager to do it because they love the brethren, because they see the need for shepherding, and they're serving because they want to, not just because of that. And so then he says, another not domineering over those in your charge, or some translations say not lording over those in your charge.
Yeah, this is, it kind of goes back to the example that Peter's been given about Jesus, but this is someone who's not just, you know, pushing something down their throats about, you know, giving laws and demands and that kind of thing. You know, that's in some ways kind of what they've been used to with religion. But he says you're not going to be that way. Instead, you're going to be examples to the flock. The best leaders are ones who lead by example, that are not those who are just saying this is what you need to do and this is how you need to do it. But they're leading by their character, by who they are, that they lead in such a way where those that are following them are just, you know, going to imitate their character. Certainly, that's what Jesus did. And that's what he's calling us to do as well, is not to be one who's just, you know, pushing stuff, but to say, here's how you should do it, and I'm going to live my life in the same way.
Yeah, I think there's always a temptation to rule over when you're in a leadership position.
Let the power go to your head.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
But the idea is to do so by example, as you said, to demonstrate to the sheep how that they can be the best sheep they can be. So the sheep have a pattern to follow. And then, you know, proving that examples day by day in the midst of the suffering and the persecution, how great is it to have that kind of a spiritual leader to stand up and show you, to lead you, say, this is how we deal with those kind of circumstances in life, to have someone that can stand up and say, follow me and my example as the way that God wants us to go. And if it works in that environment that they were in of the suffering and persecution, how much more should it work in our everyday life today?
Yeah, it's, you know, no matter what situation you're going through, if you are a leader in the church, then be one who's worthy of imitating. Be one who is being an example to those who are weaker or at least younger in their faith. And if you're someone who's not as developed in your faith, find those guys that are being examples, that have a good character, that are being imitators of Christ.
Or ladies.
Yeah. And you know, mentor, let those people mentor you, and kind of lead you in that way. But never stop growing and never stop learning, to, you know, new things and being teachable in that way. We hope that this has been a good study for you, something that is encouraging to you as we dive into 1 Peter, that you can dive in your own time and study God's Word on a deeper level and grow in your faith as well. We'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.